Good morning. I'd like to welcome those watching with us with your devices remotely. We have 48 devices tuned in right now from Oklahoma, Iowa, Missouri, Indiana, Texas. We're glad that y'all are with us. You may or may not be able to see, but we have something else planned at the end of service. After service this morning, we want to honor our brother Ron Jacobs. We have a member of our family here who's moving, and we're going to miss him. And so we're going to take a picture. Any who want, we'll crowd together in the middle and take a picture that will be a gift for him, and do that at the end this morning. And there's a lot of red, white, and blue, and that's not on accident. That's good. That'll be an extra nice blessing for you, Ron. So we're in a sermon series right now about fruit of the Spirit, and today we're talking about faithfulness. This is part two on faithfulness. And so in Galatians 5, verse 16, we have in this passage here these statements about the Spirit and what we're supposed to do with the Spirit. We're supposed to walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, live by the Spirit. We're supposed to keep in step with the Spirit. This is the Spirit of God. So for the Christian, if you're a Christian, a baptized believer, according to the New Testament, you have the Spirit of God indwelling you, trying to urge you to do right, to do good. And are we keeping in step with the Spirit? Are you falling behind? Or are you keeping up? How did you do this week? I think Sunday is an appropriate time, a natural time. Maybe it is for you, it is for me. Sunday's a time that reminds me, Elliot, here's where you need to be pointed. Here's where you need to be walking. And it's easy to forget during the week and to get off track. How did you do this week? So we'll talk about faithfulness this morning. And this means it's the virtue of being trustworthy and dependable. Are we trustworthy and dependable? And a couple scriptures that we looked at last week, Lamentations 3:22, our scripture reading, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The only thing you can always count on is God. Amen. Everything else will fail at some point. Everything else. Only God. And so that's why here we have a passage about God's faithfulness and what we're trying to be. We're trying to be like God. And so these are intertwined. Verse 23, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. There are four different ways this passage talks about us needing to stay on track. We need to stay faithful. We need to stay together. And so we have these four different ways of saying that. One is hold fast. Another is stir up one another. Another is meet together. We need to be together. And the last one is encourage one another. And we need to do that because we are weak. We struggle. You ever struggle? Does your flesh ever want one thing and your spirit another? And you didn't step where the Spirit would step there. You step where you wanted to step. We struggle. We need each other. There are times we need to come and find each other. We need to, if you've ever had a brother or sister that maybe they were a part of God's kingdom, but they needed encouragement. And I want to reference a time when Brian Benton was a member of the kingdom, but needed encouragement, and Rick went and talked to him and said, "You're my brother, and I want to encourage you. Amen. And you need to step up." And it was impactful. We need that, don't we? Sometimes we need someone to come to us and say, "I notice that you're down," or I can tell that maybe something's going on and I care about you. And I'm praying for you and I'm with you. And so I want you to think, are there any people you know that are falling behind? What do we do if we're going in a group and someone's lagging behind? We go get them. There are people that we need to go get because we need to be faithful. So last week we looked at this parable of the talents that Jesus talked about. It's like a man going on a journey. He called his servants. He gave them property. He gave them talents, which was an enormous amount of money. And he gave them that to invest. They were supposed to invest this money and then he would come back. And so he did that with three different servants. And the one who was given five, he went at once and he doubled his money. The one that was given two, he doubled his. The one that was given one, he buried his. So the master comes back, and to the one that was given five, he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He says the same thing to the one that was given two. Well done, good and faithful servant. And then the one that buried his talent, he answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant." When I was in high school, my little part-time job was at a grocery store. So I started out, I was 15 years old and started working there, sacking groceries. And this was back when your groceries were carried out for you. You know, if you wanted that, you didn't carry your own groceries out. You had a sack boy, and he carried them out, and that was my job. And I would stock shelves and mop floors, and I worked that. And then my senior year, so I'd worked there a little while now, and I'm a senior in high school. And there would be nights there, periodically there'd be times when the grocery store closed at 9, and there would be times when the assistant manager, he was not staying until the final closing. And there was a period of time when I was given the task periodically of closing down the registers. And so I didn't reconcile them, but I just took the money, bagged it up, put it in the safe, locked it up, locked the front door. So I'm the last one out to lock. And, you know, looking back, that's kind of a unique deal. I was proud of it and thought I didn't have the status of assistant manager, you know, but I did have some status. And but the reason for that, why would you do that with a senior in high school? And I know looking back, the reason the owner did that is he knew I wouldn't steal from them. I might not be competent on the assistant manager level, right? But he knew I would be trustworthy with the money. Are we robbing God? Can God trust us? That's a part of faithfulness, trustworthiness. God has given us something. It's our life. Are we robbing him with how we live our life? And on judgment day, will God say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Or will he say, "You wicked and slothful servant"? Verse 30 says, goes on to say in this parable, "Cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, into the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And that's, of course, hell. That's talking about hell. This is a worthless servant. He was called, in this parable, Jesus called him, he was called slothful. That means lazy. Lazy. And so this lazy servant was a slothful servant, and he was a worthless servant. Is it a fair statement to say a slothful Christian is a worthless Christian? That one hurts a little bit because it doesn't sound right. It sounds too harsh. But Jesus said this was a lazy servant, and he was a worthless servant. He didn't do his job. He wasn't faithful. We've been given a life to honor God, and I ask you to consider with your own self, how are you using your life? Are you walking with God? How's your prayer life? How much do you love God's word? Are you inviting anyone to join us, to join walking with God in faithfulness? Are you trying to help those who are lost? Do you know anyone that's not ready for judgment day? They're not ready. If Jesus comes today, they're not ready. And are you doing anything to help them? All right, let's look at the main passage for today is in Luke. This passage in Luke where Jesus talks about when he will come back. And verse 35 says, stay dressed for action, keep your lamps burning. In this kind of context and story, it takes on different meanings, but it's about a wedding feast that would take place and these servants that would be waiting for the master to come home from the wedding feast, because that's when they would serve. They're supposed to be awake when the master comes home. And so the statement is, be dressed for action, keep your lamps burning. I don't know if you've had the privilege of being a caretaker for a loved one in the hospital, if you've had a loved one be in the hospital, and you're not in the hospital bed, but you're staying with them, you're helping them. There have been a few times I've done that. I've done that with Stephanie. Daytime is one thing. Overnight's a whole different deal. And as if you've been the extra person overnight in a hospital room helping, that's a deal. And so I've done that some with Stephanie. I've done that with some with Mom. Mom was in the hospital recently, and Yvette took the first night. Yvette said, I'll take the first night. And I said, well, I'll take the second night. Stephanie was going to take the third night. She was only there one night. So I made out like a bandit on that one, but so I owe my sister. But when you're in the hospital with someone at night, they're in the hospital bed, you're in the chair or whatever reclines, whatever you're fortunate enough to have to try to sleep on. But when I've done that, I'm still dressed. I'm dressed, you know, more. When you're home and in bed at home, it's one thing. But when I'm dressed in a way that I've got to be able to get up at any point in time and help. I'm dressed and ready for action. And I cannot sleep deep because I may not be able to wake up when I hear Mom or Steph or whoever it is. If I hear them needing something, I've got to be ready. And if you've done that, you understand in a special way. But you can imagine, even if you've not, what it looks like to be ready. And that's what this parable is about. Are we ready for Jesus to come back? Look at verse 36. Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast. A couple weeks ago, we woke up one morning and it was, it's starting to cool off. It was a little warmer then, and woke up, and sometimes during the night I get hot. Normally Steph has those, she gets hot during the night sometimes, and so we keep thermostat turned down pretty low at night. And I sleep with two blankets. That's how low it is. It's so low, right? It is nice. It's good. I sleep with two blankets. She sleeps with one blanket. And so there'll be times that I do get hot at night. And this was one of those mornings. I just thought it was just me. But I woke up and lo and behold, the air conditioner was not working. And it was going to be up, you know, in the 90s, well into the 90s that day. And so I called the AC repair people. And they call me back and say, we'll come today. We'll give you a call when we're about 15 minutes out. And so guess what I did that day? I had this right here with me. Everywhere. Get up and go to the bathroom. Take your phone. Might get a call. Got to get that AC fixed. I don't know when they're going to call, but I don't want to miss it. Have you had situations like that where someone was going to call you? It was important. You know, other times you might miss a call. Other times you might, you know, it's different. But sometimes there's something important, and that's what Jesus is saying. Our whole lives should be this way. Jesus is coming back any time. Are we ready for that? Are we watching for that? So they're to be waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Those are the servants. Master is going to come home sometime during the night. They're supposed to be ready to open the door for him. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress. Look at what this says about the master. He will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. Isn't that something? That's a little twist there. I didn't expect that. But that's talking about heaven. It's talking about how God will reward us and bless us in heaven if we're faithful when he comes. And then down in verse 40, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Peter asked this kind of strange question to me. Peter says, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? The Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household? It's another reference to heaven. Jesus answers Peter's question. He just kind of keeps going with what he's saying. He says, who's going to be ready? Who's going to be faithful? Who's going to be wise? The question is not, am I a Christian? The question is, am I a faithful Christian? Because I might be a Christian who's lukewarm, and a lukewarm Christian is a slothful Christian, a lazy Christian, a worthless Christian, as hard as that is to hear. Am I a faithful Christian? Can I be trusted with what God's given me? I want to give you an example of a faithful Christian. We have Bible Hour during this time. We have Bible Hour going on right now for children ages 3 to 2nd grade. And this month, September, we've had a hard time. We were getting close to the start of this month, and we didn't have anyone to do Bible Hour yet. You may have seen an email go out, but you've heard announcements. We still need a Bible Hour teacher for September. Well, Etta Mae Weathers volunteered to teach Bible Hour this month. She's in Bible Hour right now teaching our children. Amen. Karen Biggs is helping her. And we have others helping. And Etta Mae said that she would do that, and I didn't. Now, I don't know what she said to herself, but I did not hear her one time say, you know what, I'll do it since no one else is going to do it. Or if no one else is going to do it, or I guess no one else is going to do it, so I guess I'll do it. And I was around her a little bit in helping get materials to her, and she didn't do that, which is human. She just said, I'll do it. And I know she doesn't have the energy that many of us have, but she's a faithful Christian. When something is needed, if she can at all physically do it, she'll step forward and do it. That's what God needs. That's what God's asking for. Verse 45 says, if that servant says to himself, my master's delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and eat and drink and get drunk. This is back to that story of the owner is off at a wedding. He's going to come home in the middle of the night. Are the servants waiting to do their job? And one scenario is, what if the servants think, well, he's going to be a long time coming. We'll just do what we want. We'll just live like he's not coming back. Let's just eat and get drunk. Who knows when he'll be back? Maybe he won't even be back tonight. And that describes people acting like Jesus is not coming back. Isn't that, it's been 2,000 years. When do you think Jesus is coming back? That's an interesting question. Logically, you could make the argument that it's doubtful in our lifetime because our lifetime is short. How many lifetimes have there been since the first century? It's been all that time. What are the odds that it'll be in my lifetime? You can make the argument logically, statistically, the odds are low. That's a foolish servant. That's what they think. Can you see the foolishness in that? If I think, well, I've got my whole life. I'll get my act together later. I'll do what I want now. And that's not what God is asking of us. He wants us to be faithful, to be watching, to be ready. And if we act like he's not coming back, he is coming back, and we don't know when our day will end. People die tragically and suddenly all the time, and we don't know when our last day will be. Are you ready? Look at verse 46. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour when he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that references hell. And that's in 2022, in our culture, that sounds horrible. But hell is horrible. Hell is horrible. It's separation from Almighty God and everything that's good and right. It is horrible. And God asks of us, will you just be faithful? Will you just be trustworthy? Be dependable? Walk with me. Walk with the Spirit God will hold your hand. He will strengthen you. He will help you. He will guide you. He will comfort you. And when we fail, the blood of Jesus will cover us, but we've got to keep walking with the Spirit. Get up, dust yourself off, and get back with God. Walk with the Spirit. Be trustworthy. Well, somebody might ask, preacher, how far? I mean, what are we really talking here? How much are we saying? To what extent? And there's a whole book of the Bible that talks about to what extent, and that's the book of Revelation, which is quite challenging to understand, but the main message is easy to understand, and this is an easy verse. Revelation 2:10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Amen. How committed are we to be? The answer is to death. What will our faith cost us? It may cost us money. It may cost us in job success. Our faith may cost us in relationships. It may cost us in numerous ways, and someday it may cost us by persecution. We may be persecuted someday. Our nation has freedom that we celebrate and we're thankful for. There may come a day we don't have freedom because another nation rules America. Or our nation itself may start oppressing Christians. We don't know what it will cost. But if someone comes and says, are you a Christian or not? And points a gun at you and says, if you say you're a Christian, I'm going to shoot you. If you have a way to save your life, that's fine, but do not deny Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't do that. And unto death, we have no choice but to honor our God and Redeemer and Savior Jesus. That's how committed we are. And then one more scenario, which may be even more difficult. The book of Job is a great book which helps us deal with times when we suffer and we don't understand why God's letting us suffer. And so the whole book is about God being proud of his servant Job, and he tells Satan that, have you considered my servant Job? Isn't he good? He's faithful. And Job says, he's only faithful because you give him everything. And God and Satan says, if you let me take that away from him, he'll curse you to your face. And God says, go ahead. And so in one day, Satan takes Job's livestock. They all die. He takes his servants. They all die. He takes his children, adult children. They die. All in one day. And Job makes this statement in verse 21. He says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What kind of faith does it take to be able to say in that moment anything good about God? Because understand this, Job knew God was involved in this, and he was. All that doesn't happen in one day without God knowing about it. But he says, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what faithfulness looks like. Well, then Satan goes back to God. He says, he's only faithful because you wouldn't let me afflict him physically, right, with illness. And so God lets Satan do that, and Satan causes Job to have physical afflictions. And look at what that look like. So verse 7, Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, struck Job with loathsome sores from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a piece of broken pottery with which to scrape himself while he sat in ashes. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Notice Job, this is a side note for husbands. Notice Job doesn't say, you sound crazy. He said, you talk like people who are crazy. That's wisdom right there. But you speak as one of the foolish women would speak. And then he says, shall we receive good from God and not receive evil? Can you tell about that faithful attitude that says, God, you're in charge, I'm not, and when it's good, I praise you, and when it's not good, and I don't understand, I'll still praise you. Amen. In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. I think this is the most difficult, because when something happens that's hard in your life and you pray to God and God does not fix it right away, and you don't understand and you're suffering, that's when our faith is shaken. And so I'm asking you to prepare now, if you've not had that happen, prepare now for a trial to come that you don't understand God. You don't understand why he let that happen. Why would God let that happen? I don't understand. And will you be faithful then? You have to be faithful then. That's what we're saying as we walk with God. We're saying, God, you're Lord. You know everything. I don't. So when God knows everything and there's a time and you're hurting and you don't, you still hold God's hand. You still praise him. You still walk with him, because what's your other choice? Your other choice is Satan, and we know what he's like. We have to stay with God. We have to stay faithful. I encourage you to look at times like this, a lesson like this. I encourage you to look at it like, have you ever gone somewhere and you're using your GPS and you get distracted and you're driving and you notice, you know what? I missed my turn. What do you do? Sometimes, you know, we'll take, okay, it reroutes me. All right, I'm here. I need to be over there. I need to turn. I need to change. Sometimes you're so messed up, you just have to turn around. GPS says you turn completely around. That's how messed up you did. And these moments need to be times that we open our heart and let God tell us how far off we are. Go back to God. Wherever God is and wherever you are, go to God. And so let's have a prayer, and then we'll sing this song. God, we come to you and we ask that you would open our hearts. Help us to be receptive to where we have wronged you, the ways that we are not faithful. Help us to be willing to take steps and make changes in our life so that we are fully faithful to you. Whatever that requires, we pray that we would have the love for you, that you would give us the grace and the strength to do it. We pray for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. And whatever change you need to make, now this is an offering for you to come, for someone to come, anyone to come, we would pray with you. If you're not right with God, we would pray with you. If you've never had your sins washed away in baptism, we will do that. It's an offering for you to come, but it's also a time, as we sing this song, I encourage you to commit to God to change whatever you need to change. You've probably already identified something you need to change to be more faithful. You and God work that out. If you have a need, please come while we stand and sing.
I know the Lord will find a way for